Shalom, believers. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And I'm John Bartlett.
And we want to remind you that this coming Friday at 7 p.m., Shofar Assembly meets in Chesterland for a deeper study of Scripture.
And what do you mean by deeper?
Well, we look at the Word through the eyes of our first century Jewish forefathers. Let's not forget, Jesus was Jewish.
So, is it similar to our Tuesday night radio programs?
You know it is, John, where the examination of the Scriptures really come alive. But now, we get to meet you in person.
As well as enter into some great messianic worship together, led by yours truly.
So write this down for your GPS, 11815 Chillicothe Road.
That's 11815 on Route 306 in Chesterland.
Come out and see us.
Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shalom Chavarim to all of you who are listening locally on 1220 AM and as well as those listening on the net at www.whkwradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host with our very sincere Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who really loves to share biblical gold nuggets, especially about the end of this current age. She loves to share them with you. And a reminder, you can re-listen to this show later this week, as well as about 4 years of archived programs, all labeled for you to choose from. It's a wealth of information. Just go to shofarministries.net. Now, as we always do, we're going to start with a prayer. And Abba, we bless you on behalf of ourselves and our listeners. We thank you for this time again to learn from your word. Encourage us as we face this age that we live in. Help us to remain confident and cheerful. We lift up to you all the prayer requests sent and phoned in this week. Answer them in your great mercy. Open our ears. Wake us up. Refill us with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Yeshua, our salvation. Amen.
Amen. Toda Rabah. We have a new word tonight.
Yeah.
It means thank you very much. And I do thank you, John. And shalom to you, too. And Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hey, if you'd like Sheila to come out to your church or your home group, just give her a call. Her number is 440-834-9006. Should God put it on your heart to contribute to this end days ministry, you may use PayPal on our webpage or send your contribution directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. And you will be added to the monthly newsletter through email or the old snail mail. Just make it known which you prefer, and you'll be on it. Those newsletters are great.
Thank you.
Well, I think we have some news. Do we have any news today, Sheila?
All right. Well, as I said last week, just about everything happening today fits into Bible prophecy in one way or another, beginning with lawlessness and immorality and that all nations will be against Israel, wars and rumors of wars. And we have ethnics against ethnics still going on in Syria. And we have strange weather. And, of course, it's been questioned more heavily lately. In fact, I just heard a secular newscaster say the other day, "What in the world's going on?"
What, with the weather?
Yeah, that's what he said. And it was so funny the way he said it. I just wanted to jump into the TV and tell him, you know. But anyway, unfortunately, they're blaming it mostly on man. Oh, I don't mean the sins of mankind.
Well, just they're driving around and making hydrocarbons or whatever, carbons, is that what we're doing, CO2?
Yeah.
And that's very bad, I guess.
Well, I think the reason, too, for some of this is because of man's sins. But no, they want to blame it on the carbon emissions and the fossil fuels, and various other man-made consequences, never even thinking that global warming might be from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is prophesied in Scripture, both old and new, that there will be signs in the sun and global upheavals would occur just before Jesus returns.
Wow. But really, who believes what the Bible says except God's people?
Well, that's a true statement. But some unbelievers are at least questioning what is happening these days. John, could you read from God's word in Luke, and let's see how that was prophesied.
Okay, thank you. Luke 21:25, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring.
Wow, I think of the tsunamis. That Japan one was last year, quite amazing. But I must point out that these prophecies that we read really refer to the 7-year tribulation period. So what we are seeing today, because we're not in that 7-year tribulation yet, are the foreshadows of it.
Okay, we're just seeing, as you've often referred to, the Braxton Hicks contractions. And if you're a woman listening, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, because Jesus himself refers to the tribulation as labor pains.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe we are in the false labor pains that often occurs just before a woman goes into labor.
Now, where does he refer to this end-time judgment as a woman in childbirth? Because that's the picture we're looking at here.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And, John, if you want to read, one example is in Isaiah 13:6-11. Why don't you read that?
I've got it right here. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take a hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames, and et cetera, et cetera. But the most important part is they will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. And
that's right.
Definitely a reference or a picture of how these things are occurring on the face of the earth. I'll continue here. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light, the sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine.
Here's about the sun again.
Mm-hmm. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible.
And who is I?
And that is the great I Am.
That's right.
And he's done this before. It was called the Great Flood. And
yes, that's true. That was big judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You betcha.
Yes.
And similar scriptures, by the way, to what he just read can be found in Isaiah 26 and Jeremiah 50. And there's others as well.
When the Lord comes back the second time, or I should say, when he comes to earth the second time, this is going to be not fun.
Well, prior to his return will not be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he calls us up home, the bride,
yes,
that will be fun.
Yeah, but his feet won't touch Mount of Olives.
Two comings.
Yeah.
One where we meet him in the air, and then 7 years later, when his feet land on the earth and he finishes off the Great Tribulation by throwing the Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire.
He is coming back as a warrior, as like Gideon, like Joshua. He's coming back to fight the enemies.
Well, you know, they say that the book of Joshua is just a mini revelation.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a show on that someday.
We could.
You know, our show today actually is on...
End times and compromise.
Compromise, yeah. And as you listen today, you'll see that there's a lot of compromising going on and sign of the times.
Yeah. But, in fact, that's what I want to look at is that very troubling end times sign and very sad because all those other signs are things that happen actually through the weather and climate and, you know, those kind of things. And we can't really do anything about that.
Yeah. And then how about signs in the church,
but
Sheila?
The church, we could do something about it, and we haven't. And then it's gone way down the tubes, and that's what we're going to talk about, especially the compromising and the tolerance that the church as a whole is doing. And I say that, you know, not including myself.
Well, I guess they would call some of us bigots. I don't mind that.
I've been called that.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Great, I got another crown on my. I got another stone in my crown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do people understand that?
Yeah.
That every time that you get persecuted or called a name, that the Book of Remembrance is open. You can read about it in Malachi 3. I think it's around 16. And every time that you either talk about the Lord or somebody, you know, says something bad about you, there's a Book of Remembrance, and those are all being marked down. So that when you get up there and you get your rewards, which he is looking forward to giving us, he will open that Book of Remembrance.
That's right.
And so every time someone calls you a bigot, you know, or whatever,
intolerant,
that's a good thing.
Intolerant.
Yes.
Just, you know, you could have a pin made that said, bigot. They don't wear a problem.
I actually said thank you when they told me that.
Good for you.
I'm exaggerating a little, of course.
Okay.
But I want to get the point across that that's okay.
That is okay.
And in fact, if you're not running into the devil, it's because you're going the same direction.
Nicely put.
Thank you.
Nicely put.
But let's look at that. And by the way, it's in 2 Corinthians 11 where Paul addresses what we're going to talk about tonight. But remember, let me just give you a little background. The Corinthians were somewhat carnal. Okay. Like the church as a whole is today. Now, again, I use the term church loosely now, okay, because I need to. I don't call myself just a church. I kind of call me a fundamentalist and a Zionist and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah, blah. All right,
yeah,
any doubts about that, John?
No, I can't say that I could refute that because we do. The church is kind of carnal right now.
Yeah. And because of this carnality, the consequences of being carnal are actually being too tolerant of false teachings, even going so far as saying that obvious known cults, I mean, ones that we have always known are cults, okay, do not accept Jesus as the Trinity, that's a cult, are now saying they're Christian just because they say so by claiming they believe in Jesus. But as we will read in Corinthians in a minute, it's a different Jesus, okay? And it's called deception at its finest. And we all know deception, even according to Jesus, was the first thing you said to look for, and it's a very big end time sign. But John, do you mind, before we read Corinthians, could you first read 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2?
Okay, thank you. It would be my pleasure. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron.
Yes. Now let me explain that a little bit too, because the word depart is a little deceiving. The word actually means to withdraw. Okay? And so it's not like they're saying, I'm not a Christian anymore. It's not like they're going to depart. No. They still say they're Christians, but departing from the faith means, and John, let me ask you, where do we get our faith?
From the Word of God.
It's the only place we can get our faith. So what's happening here is Paul is telling Timothy, some will withdraw from the Word of God. And that is so what we're seeing today.
Oh, exactly.
And because of that, they give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons because they don't have their helmet on, which is their armor, to protect them from those evil thoughts.
And we know that the carnal Christian never picks up the Bible.
Seldom.
Seldom.
If any. And I don't know because I'm not, you know, in everybody's mind. But what I'm seeing is that they're really not. And they're not even denying it if you were to ask somebody.
And let me just say, it's a tendency. It's a human tendency for us to want to...
Our flesh.
Yeah, our flesh gets in the way. But you got to stop that. You got to know when to put the brakes on.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe you're blessed enough to have a friend that reminds you that you need to be in your Word.
That's right. And I get asked this all the time. I mean, a lot. Sheila, why don't I have the desire? Why is it so hard? And here's my answer, and it's been proven. It's hard because you aren't in it. Once you are in it and are determined, and God knows you're determined, then the hunger and the desire takes place. It's almost like the Israelites who had to stick their foot in the Jordan River before the Jordan River went down and they could cross.
Mm-hmm.
You had to make the first move. And once you're in it, then the desire comes. And that happened with me. And I'll just tell you my quick testimony. I was saved twice. Mm-hmm. Or at least I was saved and then recommitted. But the first time, and it was, I think I was saved probably 5 years before I backslid. It was very hard for me to get in the Word of God. And nobody told me that, well, after you get in it is when the desire comes. Nobody told me that. So I didn't. And I really didn't. And because of that, I didn't have my armor on. And when it was really awful, I got mad at God instead.
Mm-hmm.
And because I didn't have my armor on, I blamed God for the situation. And I backslid for many years. Then when I finally came back to the Lord, I decided I was going to really study the Word no matter what, because I didn't want to be stupid in the Word. I wanted to know what the Word said.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading Revelation first because that is my thing. I mean, I like the future ideas, and you know, I was originally saved on a rapture message. So I started studying Revelation. Well, Revelation takes you in the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It takes you out if you do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every little A, B, and C, start looking at where those scriptures are, and they complement the book of Revelation. So I started, and at first it was difficult, and then it got easier, and then it got more easy. And before I knew, I had a hunger for the Word that I couldn't believe that I never had had that before. And so please listen to somebody that knows. Just get into it. Fight the enemy that wants to take it away from you or to give you something else to do. You fight that,
mm-hmm.
and you stay in the Word. Look up scriptures. Look up words. Get your Strong's Concordance out. Look up at least one word in every single verse. And before you know it, you'll not want to put it down. And never be out of time limit. That's the other thing. You know, you're looking at your watch saying, well, I only got 15 minutes or I only got a half an hour. That's not a good thing. You need to make sure that you can do it early enough in the day where you can spend a little more time.
I mean, we've talked about that before, and tithing time, which is 10% of your time is basically 2.4 hours a day in the Word. You know, but the thing is, you know, if you could get an hour, and don't feel like you have to understand everything you read.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's the Spirit getting in you.
Getting in you. And then when there's something that really piques your interest, track it down, even if you get... You only go through one verse and there's a word or something about that verse that just really you want to know about. So you go and you get into your Strong's Concordance and you look at what the words mean, or if you have an interlinear, or you listen to Sheila Crawford on Shofar Ministries, or you call her.
Well, I think of all the,
but
all
that
the programs
counts.
That we've got with
well, that
all
counts.
That information.
That counts.
If Free.
If you're right. And if you're studying at home, our listener, if you're studying at home and you have your Bible open, this counts.
That's right.
This counts.
It really does.
Yes.
And God is pleased. And regardless of what the Christians tell you, and sometimes they'll say it, I just heard it again today on a program that, well, worship is the highest, singing is the highest form of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I totally disagree.
Mm-hmm.
It is a form of, but the highest form of worship is studying God's Word, and that's what the Jewish people have always said. And they also said that if you know a lot of Bible, don't take credit for yourself, because that's why you were born.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're put on this earth.
That's right.
Right. That's cool.
So before we take a break, I'm going to have you just read again the second letter to Timothy, because Paul tells Timothy the same thing as we read in his first letter, only now he's a little bit stronger, and I'd like you to do that.
Okay. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. To me, that means during the feast and in between the feasts. Convince. Rebuke.
Rebuke.
Oh, my gosh. Rebuke.
Yes.
Exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
That's today.
Mm-hmm. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and then be turned aside to fables.
Now tell me that's not happening today.
Oh, my goodness. That describes a cult. That describes a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of people that call themselves Christians.
And here's the problem, is that I think a lot of Christians see this, and a lot of them are aware of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not saying anything. They're not going to that person and say, I'm sorry, but that's not how I see it. Let's sit down and reason together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We are supposed to, according to the Bible, reprove and, if necessary, rebuke. And rebuke is a little stronger word.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not to tolerate false teaching in any way, shape, or form.
Well, then you're being intolerant. So now you're a bigot and you're an intolerant bigot.
That's right. And praise God that I am.
But a rebuke doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, you don't want to shame anybody, right?
No, you can do it in love.
Do it in love.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, call anybody out on the...
Of course, you don't.
Take them aside. Do it just
gently.
They'll
notice. They'll know if love's not there.
Right, they will.
You know, in fact, you could preface it by saying, you know, I care enough about you that we need to sit down and reason together.
Yeah, you need to see this. You need to see what...
And I care about Muslims as well as I care about anybody.
Yes. And they are, you know, the gospel's for them, too. Maybe especially for them at this time. Please pray for
everybody.
Please pray for the Muslims everywhere. Please do. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. All donations are tax deductible and are vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Now, don't turn us off. This is just going to be the halftime. We're coming back. But you can use PayPal on our web or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513 Burton 44021. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your email address, and if you don't have email, your regular address. And be sure to check out the web page. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. We have DVD teachings. They're also available, and they make a great gift. And the three-part series on the rapture with so many scriptures that tell you about the rapture. You'll love this study. We did this on the program a few months back, and it's a great thing to hand out to your Christian friends who might not think we're leaving that soon. We're going to open the phone lines now, and the numbers for your end-time question will be 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by yours truly. Stay with us now.
Shalom, believers. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And I'm John Bartlett.
And we want to remind you that this coming Friday at 7 p.m., Shofar Assembly meets in Chesterland for a deeper study of Scripture.
And what do you mean by deeper?
Well, we look at the Word through the eyes of our first century Jewish forefathers. Let's not forget, Jesus was Jewish.
So, is it similar to our Tuesday night radio programs?
You know it is, John, where the examination of the Scriptures really come alive. But now, we get to meet you in person.
As well as enter into some great messianic worship together, led by yours truly.
So write this down for your GPS, 11815 Chillicothe Road.
That's 11815 on Route 306 in Chesterland.
Come out and see us.
Keep me in all of your paths, Lord, and make your ways known to me. Keep me as close as the dew is to the grass, as the sand is to the sea. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky, and when I leave this earth, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky, and when I leave this earth, Oh Lord, straight to you I'll fly. Your word is like a fountain, and it feeds the river of life. It gives grace to all the living, and it gives me joy inside. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I see your face, O Lord, straight to you I'll fly. As one of your sheep, Lord, and I'll no longer stray, and I'll feed with the flock in your pasture, and I'll do all that you say. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And when I leave this earth, oh Lord, I won't have to die. Like a sparrow in the meadow, like an eagle in the sky. And with a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly. With a mighty shout and the voice of the angel, straight to you I'll fly.
You're the best, John.
Oh, thank you. That song was actually the Lord gave that to me, and that's why it turned out so well. And I'm just happy to been able to do that. So I feel very blessed.
And
not all my songs sound like Johnny Cash songs. That one particularly came out that way, and it just sounded good that way, so we did it that way. Phone lines are now open. The number is 888-677-WORD. That's 677-9673. Just a reminder here before we get back into our program. If you want to be on our newsletter mailing list, either send your request to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or use the old snail mail if you do not have the internet. Send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. If possible, please tuck in a love offering to help with expenses. We're not getting rich at this, but we love it. We're getting riches in heaven for doing this.
Oh, you betcha.
Okay. So let's continue on compromise, and that's our subject
that's
for today.
Yes.
It's a big thing. Big deal.
Compromise. It's a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's setting up for the One World Church, which we're going to expound on in a minute here. But let's see how Paul challenges the Corinthians in his second letter in chapter 11. And I'd like you to read. No, actually, I'm going to read that, okay?
Okay.
Because I'm going to interrupt a little bit. But it's verses 2 through 4. He says, I have betrothed you to one husband. In other words, he was the minister. He betrothed them to one husband. That's Christ.
Ah.
That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he was concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, all cults add good works and laws to their religion.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. And he goes on and says, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive or hear from a different spirit, which you have not received in the past,
mm-hmm.
or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, And he goes on and says, you may well put up with it.
Now, what does he mean by that?
He's just saying, he says, I fear that
you're just
going to
go right
it.
Along with it.
Eh? Oh, my gosh.
So Paul was actually reproving them because he wasn't sure that they would rebuke the errors of unsound doctrine.
Exactly. Mm. And do we see that happening today?
Oh.
Absolutely. It's a different gospel. Mm-hmm. I think of the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they believe that Jesus was actually the brother of Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was created.
Now, that's a different Jesus.
That's a different Jesus.
Jesus
and so,
does...
therefore, it's a different gospel, too.
Not all Mormons believe that, because a lot of Mormons don't know what exactly their religion is. But, you know, but that's
well,
what they teach.
Should find out.
That's what they teach. You should look into it. You know, Jesus.
And they
doesn't...
also, of course, have so many other things, that we can all become gods. And that God the Father, that our God the Father,
mm-hmm.
that they were, he was actually a man just like we were and lived on one of the planets and excelled himself to God, and they believe that that can happen.
Now, that doesn't sound like the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As a matter of fact,
no,
I know because I've had enough Bible study to know that it isn't.
Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe Jesus is God.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Another created being.
Mm-hmm.
And they add good works.
And they do. And, of course, all these people can be very nice people, and certainly many of them are, and they have good values, good works, and things like that.
Immaterial.
And that's immaterial. You've got, in order to get it to get to heaven, you have to know Jesus. Remember, he said, that, you know, at the end of the age, he'll say to a lot of them, I never knew you. You know, they'll be saying, hey, we cast out demons in your name. We,
that's right.
You know, we did this in your name. He says, I never knew you.
And that word is genosko, and it means intimate. It's the same word that they use in the New Testament to describe an intimate relationship between a man and a woman. So that's an intimate relationship.
And how do you get intimate? How do you get an intimate relationship?
Right.
With Jesus.
I think I know the answer to that.
I think you do.
See the word.
I think you've dedicated your
the
life.
Only way.
Yeah, I think you've dedicated your ministry to the answer to that question.
And you know what else, John? Even with Muslims, they say that Allah is the same as our God,
mm-hmm.
and yet Allah says, I have no son.
Right.
So that
right.
there is enough. You don't even know, need to go any further.
Yeah.
And they don't believe that he was crucified as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And if he is God, try telling a Muslim that I'll just call Allah God, and they won't want you to call Allah God. They want you to call him Allah.
Yeah.
Which means that, oh, I see.
But I've seen him use the word God to trick you. It's a trick.
Yeah, it is a trick. It is a trick.
So, and that's what I get so upset about when I see these Christians saying, oh, they worship the same God, and, you know, we're going to have this new religion called Chrislam, you know, Muslims and Christians together. That
mm-hmm.
is an abomination, and you got to speak out on it.
That's right. Now, when we're talking about rebuking someone, we're talking about people that are believers. You know,
supposedly,
and... And so, of course, again, we don't want to get mean with this or anything like that. We just want to just say, hey, let me show you why
mm-hmm.
this is wrong. And it's going to get you into
because
trouble.
Because it was prophesied that these things would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul said, you've got to rebuke it.
Yeah.
And convince them.
Mm-hmm.
Through the word, of course.
Through the word,
but if
yes.
you don't know the word, that's why your tendency of not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big problem, and that's...
That's what we're going to... That's why we're here today. Is
that's
so that, to
that's
help
what
you
my ministry is all about.
About yes.
All right, so we see how it tried to take hold in Paul's day, and he addresses it very well and often, but he also knew that especially after he died, ravenous wolves, more precisely satanic influence, would enter into the church. And Jesus said it also in Matthew 7. And so the church has been fighting demon activity all along throughout church history. But it's so much worse today because the church is not in the Word, which is not only the armor but our sword to fight the demonic forces that are increasing because our light is dimming.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look back in history. An example of a long period of darkness where deception was at a high was during the Dark Ages. An appropriate name, by the way, dark.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, a little breather of light because the Bible, thanks be to God, became attainable finally. So came Martin Luther's Reformation, and that was in about 1517, which protested the one world church, which Revelation describes as the church of Thyatira. It's interesting that.
So there was there's been a one world church already.
Yeah, there was.
Hmm.
Yeah, and history repeats itself. But this church name in Revelation is called Thyatira, and actually the word means continual sacrifice. And, of course, that was the beginning of the Catholic Church, where they re-sacrificed Christ every time they had a Mass. And so the name was very appropriate.
Very appropriate. You know, and a remnant finally got tired of tolerating the mandatory rules and church laws. After all, Christianity was supposed to be not, simplistic. And it's a child can understand it, and it's not to be ministered to. We don't have to depend on somebody making another sacrifice for us right now. So, I don't know.
Simple.
Just like it's simple, like Paul just stated in Corinthians.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Now, this remnant that pulled away called themselves Protestants, taken from the root word for protest. Protestants?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Speaking out against it as represented by Revelation's prophetic view now of this church, and it was called Sardis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't it interesting that the Church of Sardis' name means remnant?
Mm-hmm.
How fitting is that? Now, do you think that's a coincidence, John?
Well, it's just one of the many God incidences and gold nuggets that you have found. May I suggest Sheila's teaching on the seven letters right here to the seven churches? And it's on our web. It's an archived radio program dated 7/31/2010. That's the seven letters to the seven churches. It's an amazing teaching. It's a great teaching to begin your Revelation study. It's a three-parter. We did that in three shows,
right.
I think. Yeah.
Okay, so now about 100 years after this Reformation, pilgrims started coming to America where God and the Holy Scriptures were important to most. And even if they didn't know Jesus personally, I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't tell you for sure, but I know they had a deep affection for God, and lawlessness certainly did not abound, even making friends with many tribes of Indians, according to history. And, of course, we read about the Englishman John Smith and his friendship with the very large Powhatan tribe, and he was very close with Pocahontas.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly had to be quite a different world back then. And even with the Indians, unless they felt threatened, I understand they were sharing dinners with the pilgrims, and many got along just fine.
Yep. Today seems different, though, with all the rage and hatred in people's hearts. And, you know, it's going to get worse as the love for others waxes cold.
Yes, we're seeing that. And back then there were fights, but mostly for survival or for misunderstandings. On both the Indians and the pilgrims' part. I mean, they didn't really speak the same language. It was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of survival actually continued on and off through the pioneer days. But they read the Bible and knew God.
Sort of like Little House on the Prairie?
Yes. Back then, false religions were limited. I don't even know if they had them. But as far as America goes, you know, at least they were limited, but I realize that Islam was probably pretty heavy in the Middle East during this time.
Yeah.
And I know that some did escape to come here from the Ottoman Empire, but that really wasn't even prominent until the 1900s. I did read that many slaves were actually Muslims, and some blacks did convert.
Yeah, recent history.
Like Malcolm X.
Malcolm X. I think Muhammad Ali used to be Cassius Clay.
Right.
Putting Islam aside, though, what group was the first cult to actually emerge here?
Here?
Yeah.
Well,
in America.
I believe it was the Mormons, and they began in about the mid-1800s. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses in the late 1800s. Now, there might have been more, but those were the most prominent.
Mm-hmm.
But they were still small and unknown due to, of course, no telecommunications, and houses were definitely further away for them to go house to house.
Cell phones were more expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
radio.
They
didn't even exist.
Yeah, course, no TV until the 1900s. And then it got a little easier.
Yeah.
And Joseph Smith claimed to see an angel. I guess it was Moroni, where they get the name Mormon.
Yeah, and that's what Muhammad claims, that he saw
an angel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes us back to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, same chapter, verses 13 and 14, where he describes false prophets as deceitful workers. That would definitely be Joseph Smith and Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ.
That's right. And apostles mean those sent.
Followers of Christ.
Are sent by Christ.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says that Satan himself can form himself into an angel of light, which I believe is probably more common today than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's what Muhammad and Joseph Smith saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, either you believe the Bible or you don't.
Yeah, and Ephesians 6 describes even the ranks of angels that we fight. They sound pretty organized.
Oh, yeah, like rulers of darkness and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness, principalities.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
The Bible says it. They're out there. Don't ignore it.
And really, you know, we're not looking for demons behind every bush, but...
Oh, not at all.
When you read the gospel... When you read the Gospels, you see that every time there was Jesus encountered people, there was usually the casting out of demons.
That's right. Look at how he threw them into the pigs.
Yes.
And then they jumped off the cliff.
Cliff, yeah.
It was the first case of deviled ham.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe I just heard that.
Couldn't pass it up.
Oh.
Anyway, but today we have thousands of different named cults, many masquerading as Christianity, and thousands of people calling themselves the Messiah.
So it's a different day than it was 100 years ago, right?
Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, was prophesied in the Bible. Today, there are these mega churches who have taken down the crosses and even joined with Islam, and as I said before, calling it Chrislam, compromising our gospel by claiming Allah is the God of our Bible. And yet all our tenets of faith are the opposite of Islam.
Yeah, and this is heresy at its finest.
It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's setting the stage, well, the stage is set, that's for sure, for this one world religion. And really all that is stopping it is the Holy Spirit in us.
In us. And you can read about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yes, which we might still be able to do if
we have
time.
Yeah, we might have time to do that.
But today we see the love for others waxing cold. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
Greed is never before. Money is their God.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, 1 Timothy 6:3 talks about that also. And I would like to just turn to that. I have it here. 1 Timothy 6:3 says this, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, into the doctrine with accords with godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself."
Does that sound like prosperity gospel? And it's you see that a lot on television.
Absolutely. It's like, okay, well, if you don't have a lot of money and you don't live in a big house,
mm-hmm.
then you must not be blessed by God.
And if you check out, and a little birdie told me this, so I won't give my source out, but if you check out where these the TV ministers live and check out the kind of houses they live in and the neighborhoods they live in, you'll see exactly this picture.
So it says in verse 6, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we are carrying nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." And, John, we have learned to be content, haven't we?
Yes, we have, for the most part.
But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in desecration and destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness.
He's talking about believers.
And pierce themselves through with many sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God that we know some that are wealthy, that tithe and that give to the ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so grateful for those.
Yes. There is a big temptation that when you are wealthy, for whatever reason, you can have a lot of time on your hands. And you can get just about whatever you want. when you want it. So there's a big temptation to do that, but, you know, you don't have to have all that money to be tempted that way.
That's true, but we're seeing it in government right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's really, really
it
bad.
It is really
I
bad.
I mean, anybody can be bought anymore.
Yep.
So
well, we said we have the best government money, or best Congress money could buy.
Yeah. We're also seeing the God of humanism, the me first attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about me?
Mm-hmm.
When I conduct marriages, I always tell them to always put the needs and wants of the other above your own. Because marriages are coming apart today because they're saying, well, I've been in this marriage long enough, and I've taken care of you for long enough, and now it's my turn. What about me?
Well, you see it all the time, I guess. But that sounds like a good description.
So, but if you really, really put the needs of the other above your own, you will make it.
I know. I battle selfishness. I do.
Well, we all do.
Yeah.
We all do.
I really battle
that. But I try to catch myself. And then I apologize.
Well, you know, if I don't catch myself, I've got a wonderful person that I'm married to that will remind me.
Catch yourself.
You
catch yourself. You're right, got it. But, yeah, it's really the only way to make it these days is to not care so much about yourself.
Yeah.
The God of humanism is a spirit. Mm-hmm. Wrong.
It's a doctrine
everything
of
everything we do, we're supposed to do for Jesus. Put Jesus' face on everybody you see. That will help.
That's good. You were pounding the desk on
that
one.
Yeah, I was. Well, we're getting running out of time, and I want to make another point.
Okay.
What do we do? Living in these last days of compromise, confusion, deception at its finest. When we all know time is running out, actually, it's pretty simple. Go back to what they did in the first century. One-on-one, heart-to-heart, witnessing for Christ. Show them why all this is happening. Help them put the pieces together because we're running out of time. Pray with them and show them the love of Christ and accentuate the importance of knowing Him intimately through the Word. Unless you know a really good church that teaches the Word verse by verse, join a home fellowship or start your own and study the Word. It's your armor and your sword, and it's against your enemy. You need it.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up there. We cannot offer this to you enough. If you have never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, well, I emphasize whole life because maybe there's parts that you haven't. Maybe you're one of the many with only the head knowledge of Him and not a heart conviction, or you believe because your parents are saved, you are too. Well, what you need to do, you know, the time is getting short. Get on your knees right now.
Right now.
We're serious. Repent. Particularly of those individual sins that keep lingering in your life, then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's alive. He's the risen Savior. He's the Messiah of all. And it's your choice to choose Him. He'll meet you halfway. And this also means it's your choice where you spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide for yourself where your soul is going to go. And remember, the soul doesn't die. Soul never dies, and it has to go somewhere. And there's only two places.
Only two places.
With God or with Satan. Who is your God? Is He the God of Is your God the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of the Bible? Who do you follow? You need to decide that.
So please, people, don't waste the rest of your life away. If you've been listening to this program and you have made Jesus Lord of your life, do it now. Because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever in happiness and eternal bliss. And who knows what God can still accomplish through you right now.
Any and all donations, just a reminder, are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. You can use PayPal on our webpage or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. Thank you for those who have been helping us so far. And all your donations will automatically put you, any donation actually, will put you on our monthly newsletter list. And, you know, why not just go ahead and check out shofarministries.net. And that's where all the newsletters and previous programs are archived. And we have Hebraic Roots teaching DVDs and CDs and proving about what I told you about that proves the pre-trib rapture. That's a good one.
Oh, my goodness. We have so many scriptures on that.
Oh, yes.
I think it took us, what, 3 weeks to do that?
Yeah, it took us three consecutive shows to do that one. We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, all our listeners. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'esencha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.